This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
New Jersey's got a lot of historic wows, from Victorian beach towns to Revolutionary War battlegrounds. Explore wow after wow at more than 463 historic landmarks, in museums, lighthouses, and over 58 state and national parks. It's one wow after another after another. You get it. Find your wow at visitnj.org/history. New Jersey, little state, lot of wow.
This is a Hosehead production.
Jeffrey Dahmer soaked in blood. The Unabomber blowing up. Waco, Texas, and Heaven's Gates. Aliens modified, men from apes. JFK shot in the head by the CIA. Bigfoot and the Mothman. Son of Sam talking to dogs again. Witches, ghosts, and goblins. Mysterious noise and hauntings. Dark arts in the skull and bones. Most celebrities are probably clones. So if you're feeling all alone, crack a beer and get stoned. I welcome you to the podcast, Strange Brew. We're here to entertain you. We're here to entertain you.
It's about to get strange.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the show. You know me. I am Tomcat, aka Tom Thompson, the Raptilian. Find all my music on all music platforms. I am joined by a very special guest. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, for sure. My name is Hauntingly Krista. At least that's what the internet calls me.
And you are a paranormal investigator. What would you describe yourself as?
Paranormal investigator, spooky content creator, your friendly neighborhood ghost girl, things.
That's fun. And I saw some of your work, online, and I thought it'd be interesting. We're kind of around the same area in Ontario. This is pretty basic. And I kind of wanted to dive into how you got into this stuff and what kind of drove you to get into the paranormal and the spooky, and when did it start? And
The interest in the paranormal started quite young, just because I always say I became interested in the paranormal basically my entire life. Cause it was something that I always knew was there.
Yeah.
I've always had paranormal experiences. And then when I was about 7, we moved into my family home, that my parents still live at, and it was very haunted. Don't know why. It wasn't like super old or anything like that, but it was very haunted. And like, that's where most of my paranormal experiences came from.
Do you remember your first one?
Ironically enough, my very first one, there were like weird things like knocking. And I think that I could see ghosts when I was very young, but it's a foggy memory at this point. Mm-hmm. Cause like, I always knew that ghosts existed before anyone could even tell me about them. And so it was just kind of like something I came to my parents about eventually. And I was like, this is happening. And my dad believes in ghosts, but my mom doesn't. So it was kind of something
that's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. So especially like in their house that they live in, like that I grew up in, I would go to them about it. And my mom's like, you're making things up. Love her. But like, she'd be oh, you're making things up. And then my dad would be like, oh, I'm experiencing it too. Hmm. So it was interesting that way. But
yeah, I find more women have, surprisingly, they're more intuition mm-hmm. when it comes to spirits and being able to, like you say, you could say feel them or like under, like feel their presence around.
Yeah.
I find compared to men, I find that like women have, my wife, she's kind of always been in tune to that stuff a little more than I have. She messed around with Ouija boards, had like, she talked to a Ouija board, said, you know, the Ouija board said, when I'm around, I'm going to knock this teddy bear off the shelf. And then it would fall off all the time, even when it was like pushed way at the back. So
mm-hmm. It's like, what's going on here? But you're like picking up on like the vibe almost.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
But the very first like concrete experience where I was like, okay, this is real, this is happening, that I just go back to all the time, I think I was around like maybe like 9, and it didn't even happen in my childhood home, but it happened with my dad. And we were driving downtown Oakville, which is where I grew up. And we were passing by this building, which we learned later was haunted. Had no idea it was haunted at the time. Mm-hmm. They actually did like a Ghost Trackers. Do you remember the YTV show Ghost Trackers? It's like for kids.
I'm pretty sure. I used to watch YTV a lot.
Yeah.
I think we all did.
Yeah. I don't know how legitimate it was. It was giving like Zach Baggins, but like smaller. Yes. But they did investigate like real like haunted legends. And we passed by this building that I later would learn was haunted. But when my dad and I were driving past it, all of a sudden he's obviously driving and I'm in the passenger seat. Definitely was too young to be in the passenger seat, but I was there. And we both looked to the left at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we saw this thing like drop like almost a 90 degree angle and scream. And like whenever we talk about it to this day, we're just like, this it's something that like haunts us to this day, because mm-hmm. it was that real and that traumatizing. It was like, it was a scream that I've never heard before. So we pulled over to the side because we thought it was like someone who had like skateboarded or something and like fell down this staircase, like outdoor staircase, extremely like hard. Mm-hmm. So my dad hopped out to go check, and then he came back to the car. He's like, no one's there. And I was like, what are you talking about? Hopped out of the car, and we're both looking at this like empty parking lot where that would be the only way that someone could go if they were going to run away from that fall, which you wouldn't have been able to get it from that fall.
Yeah.
There was nothing there. No one was like walking the distance, and we just had like a weird feeling about it. Later we found out it's a theater/public library, and they say it was built on an ancient burial ground. And now is haunted by like a little girl ghost named Alice. This
disembodied voice. That's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
And this is Strange Brew. So I have an old fashioned whiskey in my nice skull cup. You know,
love it.
It's pretty awesome.
Very on brand.
Yes. Yes. I kind of have to, you know, it's just part of the nostalgic aspect of the show. What are you drinking on?
It's called a Sake Collins.
Weird.
Sake Collins.
Is it got sake and then
something else? Yeah. It tastes like a fermented lemonade almost.
Weird. Actually sounds pretty good. We did
it's really good.
A long time ago, we did an episode about strange Japanese legends, and we drank sake way too much. I didn't realize how strong that stuff was, and then you can get obliterated drinking too much of it, because it's pretty strong wine, because it's like rice wine or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've never heard anyone, I've had many people on the show drink all sorts of things, but that's a new one. Sake Collins. That's pretty funny. I've always been into this stuff too, since I was a very young kid. The fans of it, like using Ouija boards and you know, my aunt came from Jamaica and she told me like to never use it and stuff like that by yourself. And then I was 16 and I'm like using the Ouija boards when I'm like drinking and stuff. I was a pretty crazy kid. And I've had all sorts of weird experiences, lights turn off, scratches on my buddy. It's funny. We're calling ghosts and we want to like prove that it, you know, if it exists and are they around? And, my buddy was Native and it's like, he had the darkest skin. So we're like, can you scratch him? And then he pulls up his sleeve and there's like all these scratch marks down his arm. Like the white ones, you think about like nails running down. And it was weird because we watched him sit there, he had a sweater on. Right. So I've had all sorts of these experiences. And then, so as you got older, you became more intrigued with it.
Yeah. It was actually when I was really like young and like at that point when I was experiencing things, I was scared of it. Like, I'm still scared. There was like a time period there that I pretended like I wasn't, like when I first started paranormal investigating by myself, I was like, yeah, I'm not scared of nothing. No, I'm scared. I still get scared. But, I didn't want to experience it. I was like, oh my God, like what's going on? And especially cause it was my own house too, for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. So the wife won't let me use the Ouija board, even though I'd like to, because the house that we're living in, it was just dropped here in like the 1800s. We don't know where, I don't even know how they did that, but according to the records and all that stuff, and it's next door to her father's property, right? And then he said it was just dropped here. He had to renovate it, and like there was like dead cats in the walls. And my buddy was like, that's some witchcraft shit. So I don't know. He's Christian, so they have all their own ideas of what's going on, and they tell you not to mess with this stuff. And I've heard that from numerous people. Don't mess with this stuff. It's too late. I already have. I believe I was cursed from the Ouija board at some aspect of it, of what I was doing, especially what I was provoking. I had it because I started getting into the alien stuff when I was fairly young. And then so when I would use the Ouija board, it would start telling me that it was something that was actually not dead, that it was an intelligent being from outside of our reality.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And who knows if that's my own subconscious or whatever. And that's why, like, you know, I try to be, even though I do believe in absurd things to everyday people, like I do believe that there is lower vibrational entities, like what people consider reptilians or some of these demonic forces or whatever. But I do try to come at things at least kind of logically to explain away first. And then if I can't do it, then something's going on, right?
Yeah, you always got to debunk first on investigations.
And that's where the hard thing is like if your own house is haunted, you don't really want to invoke them to become more active. And like I said, we just covered the Harrisville haunting and how that was like the ghost was kissing the kids at night. They're like tucking them in and then kissing them on the floor. Weird shit like that. So it's like, do you really want to try to invoke something in your own home and then you have to live with it? And there's people that have died in this house. A baby died. Someone just died not long ago in this place. So I'm always worried about like having to invoke those things out of the home that I live in. But then you didn't want to pursue it any further?
Well,
when you were younger, at least?
It just scared me. So I just kind of tried to pretend like it wasn't happening. And then occasionally I would sit down with my dad and I'd be like, so this is going on. Like, what are you experiencing? He'd be like, me too. Like whatever. But it was never anything super, super crazy. It was like knocking, weird noises that can't be explained, like not house settling noises, shadow figures, but nothing like The Conjuring hauntings or anything like that. But it was just something that, okay, there's clearly something else going on here and I'm not sure why. So as I got older and I got less afraid of it, started getting into Supernatural, like the television show, big fan up until about season 10. We got a little bit repetitive, but
I had a buddy that told me always, he's like, you should watch that show. You probably love it. I never got into it, but I've used sound clips from their show and stuff like that on the soundboard that I have, just cause it is kind of funny. He's like it's a third encounter. No, it's a fourth encounter. And he's like freaking out as he's getting chased by aliens. I'm like, it sounds like something I get into, but like at this point, right. Television is, I feel like, pretty shitty. So I might have to go back and start watching all those seasons.
Honestly, I recommend to anyone, watch from season 1 to season 5. Okay. That was like what Eric Kripke, the creator of Supernatural, wrote, and it should have ended at 5. So watch awesome. That.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check. Like, everyone's told me to check it out, so I have to at this point.
But yeah, as I started watching shows like Supernatural and Charmed, and like
Charmed.
I loved Charmed. Still do.
Classic. Oh my God, we just brought that up on the show. Is that the one with the little creepy boy, right? Is that Charmed?
It was Three Witches.
Okay, yeah, Charm. I was thinking of Passions. Sorry.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
Passions, it's the same kind of vibe where it's like a soap opera kind of vibe. And there's this weird little kid that's like possessed or something. It's a weird one. It's
weird. But yeah, as I started like watching more shows like that, started going online and learning more about different ghost stories, it just kind of became something that I got less scared of and like more intrigued by. And so as I was growing up, I was kind of just in that mode. And it was something I always wanted to do further, but I was always afraid of what people would like think of me and if they would judge me.
Yeah.
And
don't worry, we've all been there, and then you just stop caring.
Exactly. It was the pandemic for me. I was like at home and I was like, okay, well, what do I have to lose? I'm at that point, I had just turned 25. I'm like, hey, I'm like in my mid 20s. I don't really care what anyone thinks about me anymore. I'm locked down in the pandemic. So now I'm going to do this. So I just started sharing online my interest and I started paranormal investigating by myself.
Wow, that's cool.
Like little by little until I started sharing more ghost stories on TikTok that led me to blow up on a TikTok a little bit. And then I met my team through TikTok. So then I started investigating them.
I remember like there is an investigative team in Brantford. And I was going to try to contact them at some point. It's like the Brantford Paranormal Society, I think. And I never got around to doing it because I was trying to look at doing some of paranormal investigating. I've used Ouija boards. I have the equipment. My dad bought me when I was 18, like the ghost detecting equipment where it had like the spirit box, the what's it called? Laser pointer, which shows the grid. The frequency, whatever, it's not a Geiger meter. It's kind of like that where it shows the,
EMF.
Yeah. I have the EMF recorder. Yeah. And then I was a fan of Ghost Adventures too, as much as like, I do think Zach Bagans is a massive douchebag. He's such a douchebag, but I used to watch that all the time. And it gave me the vibe that I like. And I was super into horror movies since I was a kid. Right. And it's funny because it led me to doing a horror podcast with my buddy in Ireland. Somehow he just came into my life. It's weird how things happen. And we just finished doing like Freddy versus Jason. People are loving it actually because we did a whole deep dive into Friday the 13th in the summer. And that's the stuff that I loved since I was a kid, was the idea of being scared, but there was no harm involved. Like I'm not a real, as I got older, I'm not really a big fan of heights, right? I'll go on roller coasters, but staying on a really tall, I can't control it, right? But something about the investigate ghosts or to watch a scary movie that keeps you on edge, that invokes this feeling out of you that I can't turn away from it.
Mm-hmm. I feel it.
I'm sure you're the same.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And then you found your team, and then did you guys just start getting into going around to different places? My biggest question too is like, how do you get it into these locations too?
So yeah, it all sorts of different ways. So when my teammate reached out to me, like we call him the lead investigator because it was kind of like his creation.
How many
was
of
his
them?
Creation? We're three.
There's
three
of you guys.
Yeah. So there's two,
male. How many male, female, female, or?
Male, female.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's Rafe, and it was his creation walking among us. That's our team.
Yeah, that's cool.
And his wife, Kelly.
That's awesome. That's actually a Misfits song, so I dig that. It's cool.
Really?
Yeah, walk among us. That's cool. Yeah. I wonder if he got it from that. That's pretty cool.
Maybe.
The Misfits, a very
logo.
Yeah, famous punk band. That's cool. And you guys kind of collaborated, like you guys found interest.
So he started seeing, well, and also people were tagging him because he has a little bit of a following on TikTok as well.
Until they banned me.
They keep doing this to us.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But a lot of people were tagging him in my videos when I first started blowing up. And I, at that point, it was like at the start of my TikTok. So there was too many things. I was missing it.
Yeah.
And he couldn't send me a message because I didn't follow him. And then eventually I saw a comment. So I followed him back and he immediately messaged me and was like, let's set up a video call. And I was like, at first I'm like, I don't know. You're strange.
You got to be careful. Especially like, obviously we've all seen Catfish. You know what I mean? Like you never know what people
you
are
never know.
Doing behind the camera.
You know, I wasn't sure. And he was like, yeah, me and my wife are starting this team. So like, do you want to be part of it? And like all this stuff. So I was like, I entertained it for some reason. And so I got on a call with them and immediately, I don't know, we just like clicked, like we're family, like we've known each other before.
It is weird how things like, I don't know. I believe everything happens for a reason. That's just part of my mantra that I do think that these things are set up in this reality to help people either learn or coexist with people that are like-minded with them. And that's the same way how I met Aaron from Ireland. We both followed each other. I had a couple TikTok accounts. I had one that blew up, then got shadow banned, and then this, and then all of them are gone now because they just came after me. And now I think my voice is like something that they tag and stuff.
Like this guy.
Yeah, they did not like what I was saying. But the thing is, and I used it as a way to try to wake people up and stuff. But I saw him, and I'm like, oh, obviously, you always loved horror movies. And then we just started talking. I thought he was some old guy. I didn't know. Like, I was just guessing. Oh, he's a horror fan. He's probably some dude in his 40s. And then it's so crazy. We're like best friends, and he lives on the other side of the world. We think the same. We've had the same kind of life experiences. We have the same sense of humor, the same sort of political views, all that type of stuff. And it's just interesting how things set up in that kind of way in life. Like, right. Things are pulling you towards something, right? Even mm-hmm. you coming on the show is like, I do believe that people are supposed to connect and form new things and collectivize and kind of become something better and learn from each other, you know?
Definitely. 100%.
That's very cool, man. I'm jealous. I would love to come out with you guys sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have to. Honestly, I'll give you Rafe's contact information after, because he's also like a horror movie collector.
Oh, cool.
And horror movie fan, paranormal obviously enthusiast. Yeah. So you guys could probably have a good conversation too.
That would be interesting. And so out of so many places we could take this. And then you guys started paranormal. Like, what was your first location? Like, how did this start? How did this kind of get going?
So we started at their house, actually. They don't live there anymore, but it had been crazy haunted, and they were having lots of weird experiences in their basement. So they're like, what better place to start than at home, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how we started. And then I was getting different contacts come to me with different locations. I had this follower of mine reach out with this this haunted army camp, base camp, old camp. And so ended up going there and doing an investigation with them there. And that was like the first year. And then,
did you catch anything significant, like in the first year, like anything compelling?
Some things. The cat ball activity, like the little motion sensor cat balls. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of activity with that. We also got a lot of orbs at first. I'm starting to lean away from orbs. Rafe and Kelly are still on orbs a little bit, depending on the orb.
What do you mean? Because like I've had some, I could tell you about some weird orbs that I've captured.
Same. There's some weird ones that I'm like, hey, there's something happening here. And
some of it's dust.
Some of it's bugs. Yeah. But there has been like a lot of research that I've come across, and a lot of people talking about it on internet, about how all orbs are on some level dust or bugs. And I'm like, okay, I can see that, but there's some of them that just move so strangely. So I'm like,
it's almost impossible for what I caught. So there was one time on a bridge, we were walking across a bridge, and the wife took a picture of me, I took a picture of the bridge or something like that. There was a clear green orb that you could zoom into, and it looked like plasma. And there's no, and green orbs have to do with nature, and supposed to be nature spirits, or maybe just residual energy. There's no way it was a bug or anything. Like, it was like I was on the other side of the bridge. It was like in the middle of the bridge, and this like big green orb that you could zoom into. I have it somewhere on my way back on my Instagram. And in two different pictures, it moved, and you could zoom in. It looked like plasma. And then there was one time we were in a hotel. I used to drink a lot more than I do now. I was, and I was a crazy young dude, and we were in Niagara Falls. We were, in a hotel room, and, my wife took a picture of me naked, like pissing or whatever. Right. And behind me was a red orb. And I've never seen that in my life. And red orb is more negative energies. And this is at the time where I was in a weird dark spot in my life. I used Ouija boards a lot. I was, you know, into the dark occult, researching aliens and the occultism stuff. And you could zoom in. You could see like a clear as day red orb behind me. In like where, you know, in those hotels where they like the hot tub or the tub opens up to like a window, and then the bedroom's on the other side of the window. So she was like sitting on the bed or staying there, and you could clearly see like there's no way it would be dust or bug. There's nothing in the room. And I was just standing there, and then you see it behind me, and it's a very clear red orb that, and you could zoom in, and that's what I always like, what the hell is that? And you look at it, and there's, it's literally like red and like looks like some like plasma. It's weird. So I tend to think that some of those, I don't know how, I don't know what else it could have been. I have no idea.
It's ones like that, and it's experiences like that and things like that, that's what keeps me on the orb train. But it's just, I don't know.
I don't think the Zach Baggins one where they're like, that's an orb, you know, it's just like this thing just fly. It's like, it could be dust. Right. And I caught that. I took a bunch of pictures in one of the wax museums in Niagara Falls. And I thought that there was a couple of pictures I could have caught orbs, but then there's things you could see that were definitely dust.
Yeah.
Cause it's old as shit, man. The Louis, whatever the famous one, that is not very, doesn't look that great. But you could, that all the white orbs and like, cause it easily could be dust. The ones that are colored, I'm like, it's very hard to say that. Cause I've seen pictures of glow bugs and it was like, I don't know.
The colored ones definitely they get me thinking, that's for sure. But that's what we were getting like a lot during our, so when we started kind of halfway through the year in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so summer of 2022 is when we started investigating, and then so we did two investigations, and then we started posting at the beginning of 2023. And then since then it's been like investigation after investigation after investigation. So we either book locations, so we'll, if it's a hotel, if it's an Airbnb, then obviously we'll book it and pay for it. Sometimes we call locations and we're like, hey, we heard this place is haunted, like can we get in for an investigation? Sometimes they have a fee, sometimes they don't.
Weird, because I'm always wondering about that, because I would love to like do that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. My co-host lives in New Brunswick now, but he used to live like close to me. And I always wanted to do this with him, go for a ghost walk. Me and the wife are going to try to do that this year in Hamilton, do the ghost walk and stuff. And I've always wanted to do that stuff. But either I have a couple friends that are close that are like Christians, they don't want to involve themselves in that stuff. And then, so it is hard to, my buddy Billy that I do the show, it would be so skeptical about it. That's why it would be entertaining. Cause it's like, he's always like, no, until like something scratches his neck or something.
I get that. Yeah. It's just kind of like a mixture of things, but mostly we reach out to places. Occasionally I'll have someone slide into my DMs being like, I have a haunted place. We actually have, when is this coming out?
Probably a couple of weeks.
I had a strip club that's haunted.
That's cool.
Slide into my DMs. Sounds weird.
Ghost sliding into your DMs. Hey, can I get a break? Right?
Honestly. But it's in like this old haunted mansion in Guelph. And so they were like, do you want to come through for like a walkthrough? I was like, can I bring my team for an investigation? They're like, yeah.
Wow, that's so cool, man. The ghost strippers would be awesome.
Yeah. So that's coming this weekend, actually.
That's so funny. I made a joke on that. I don't know if this is real or not, but I swear that a ghost molested me when I was a kid. We're using the Ouija board, and so we called upon who we thought was Emily Rose, right, from the Exorcist film.
Yeah.
Comes to find out she's not a real person. The woman claimed to be a woman from Brampton. Brampton is not a Canadian place anymore, in my opinion. It was this woman that supposedly died, this young girl. And then she always told me, like on the Ouija board, she was attracted to me and all this weird stuff. And I was a little boy. I didn't know what the hell was he was saying. Was there a subconscious? Was it me wanting this or some strange thing? And then, that is so weird. I remember going to sleep the one day. I just told this story. And then I wake up, my boxers like across the room or whatever. And then we're using the Ouija board the next day, and all my friends, and I swear I slept with them on. And then it told me that the two female spirits that inhabit the house took advantage of me.
It's giving succubus.
Yeah, I know. And God knows what, because like when I was younger, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I used to like imagine, and this is why you don't know what you're invoking. I keep using that word, but like what you're pulling out from the ether. Because I used to be like, I used to hear the, like, I don't think that all of our thoughts are our thoughts. I think that our thoughts, some thoughts could just be dropped in there. And that's the scariest thing about the way our reality works, and how I believe that just because something you knock on it doesn't mean it's physical. It doesn't mean this table that my laptop saw is physical. It doesn't mean this glass is physical, because molecules are just slowed down to a point where it becomes physical, right? And I've always told this to people that you see 10% of reality. That's it. Maybe even less. So I remember being like, oh, I'm going to hold your hand, hearing that in my head, and then my hand would tingle. And I'm like, I don't know if my brain was doing that, making that up.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm pretty honest on the show about my experiences and what things I've went through. I think it's more genuine and real to be like that rather than play something that you're not. So I've had weird stuff like that where I'm like, I don't know if it was just me making this up, because, you know, I wanted that to be the case, but it was creepy. And I remember being like creeped out and thinking that there was these, and they told me their names and all sorts of shit. And I was like,
I don't know. That's having me lean towards that was legit. Like, cause like, weird. Yeah, if you're, that's a strange thing to be so young and to placebo into your head. So
yeah, I was like 12 or something.
I don't know.
It's very weird.
Yeah, I don't,
we had, I should tell you this. You would find it funny, I'll let you carry on. Is when we used to call people that we knew were dead or whatever, right? Like Tupac. And I remember like a light blew out. And I think that Tupac might be in Cuba. Who knows? I actually have a whole episode ready to go about that idea of him faking his death. And we call things like people like Harold Houdini. And I remember calling Harold Houdini, and he would tell us jokes, and there was like five of us, and we used to come home. We used to come from school, because I was close to the school, at lunch, and use the Ouija board. We were in grade six and seven. So it's very, how much we got into using it was very weird. It does become obsessive, where my aunt that like did it when she was in Jamaica said she couldn't eat, she couldn't sleep, all that type of stuff. And so he would tell us jokes. And the one I remember is we were all very emo. I was very punk at one point, and then it reverted into the emo phase of like I had, and people don't believe me, but we're going to do it on Patreon eventually. I had like pink hair over my eyes, like streaks of pink, black. I was very into that vibe. I was a screamer in a metal band before I started doing music and hip hop. And
Slay.
Yeah, it was a different time. And that was a rebellious thing. It wasn't this thing of like what people see it nowadays of, I'm not going to get into that, but that it was more of a rebellious thing to do with the music. And I got suspended for wearing eye makeup, stuff like that. Like, yeah, I lived a pretty wild life. For literally, they suspended me for multiple weeks. And my dad had made a joke where he's like, what if our religion was we're clowns and we like to wear makeup? And are you going to like, you know, kick him out for that? And then, eventually, I lost my train of thought, but I've always been into this kind of stuff, and it is straight. Oh, what joke he told. So then we're all punk and all that stuff. And I used to wear like ripped shirts and zippers in the pants, all sorts of dumb shit. And then, so the joke that I'll never forget, and it's so dumb, but I don't know how any of us could have like thought of this, was how did the chicken cross the road? It was stapled to the chick, or how did the punk cross the road? It was stapled to the chicken. So a very dumb joke, a very weird, dumb joke. But because punks used to have like zippers in their pants and like safety pins in their lips, all sorts of stuff like that, that I don't know how any of us at that age could have thought of that, or it was so ridiculous that, is that weird?
Yeah, like even you like leading up to that, I was like trying to think of like where that joke could have went. Did not guess that.
it was so dumb that it was almost like whatever the spirit was like kind of trolling us. Before that even term came into existence, it was like trolling us. And I think that happens more often than people want to maybe acknowledge.
Yeah, probably.
So then you guys got in the paranormal investigating. So I like telling at least so you understand kind of, at least who I am, even though the fans already know, I want you to kind of grasp how I'm a kooky guy. That's for sure. I'm a strange guy is why I do this show.
Felt in my soul.
So once you guys got started, do you remember like a significant place that you went to when you guys kind of first started really getting into this? Because obviously like you don't know each other at the beginning, mm-hmm. and you have to obviously develop this kind of chemistry after a while, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first Well, okay, actually, I should backtrack just slightly. Yeah, yeah. So when we first started our team, so like I mentioned, it was Rafe, it was his idea. And basically, because this happened shortly, like at the beginning of the year of 2022. Mm-hmm. And so when Rafe had reached out to me, it was like March, April-ish.
Yeah.
And for the past few months, he had been trying to get a hold of me, but that Christmas that had just passed, his wife had gotten him like a camera, some ghost hunting equipment. And like, I think it was like a YouTube for Dummies book or something like that.
That's funny.
And it was like, go, because like she kept talking about it and she was like sick of it. She's like, go do it, yeah, start it. So that started. And he was also friends with, I don't know if you've heard of James White, but he does seances here in Toronto.
Sounds familiar. Kinda.
Yeah. He does like these authentic Victorian seances in different locations. This year will be his 8th. Year in a row. And cool. So they got to know him. So he was actually an original member of our team too, but he had to step back because he was dealing with some personal stuff on the side. But our team was originally the four of us. So our first two investigations, the one at their house and then the army camp, were with the four of us. And then we're supposed to go to the Beck house in Penetanguishene, which is like this haunted Airbnb that you can rent out. We're actually going back this weekend as well.
I have to bring that. Man, no, it's very funny. The oh man, I can't even pronounce that. So I just released a
From
the Vault episode, which I'll release like older episodes. You talked about this serial killer, this Canadian serial killer, the killer that couldn't be cured. And I just released it last night as like, I sometimes released old episodes, especially for a video on Rumble. So people can catch it and stuff. And, I couldn't pronounce it. And I was just watching it last night, cause it was like live or whatever. And me and my buddy, I was like, can you pronounce this for me? And I couldn't do it. That's so weird. Weird synchronicities.
That's it.
Wild.
Cool. When we first went there, I could not pronounce it for the life of me either. I kept calling it Penguin Shine.
Yeah. Penetanguishene.
Yeah. It's a big fancy word, but
it kind of looks creepy.
You can rent out the apartment 302. Now both rooms on the top are completely rentable. So we rent out the entire top floor. The rest is other
people.
Is it
pretty expensive?
I think it's like pretty standard for like an Airbnb apartment.
Okay, not bad
though. I mean, when you rent out both, then obviously you're paying like two different rents. Mm-hmm. But if you just get the one, cool. I think it's probably like maybe like $300 a month, or not a month, sorry, a day.
Yeah.
The other floors have different tenants. So the owner lives in the house on like the main floor, and then there's some tenants that live on the second floor.
Yeah.
So that was our first investigation overnight, and it was our third investigation like total. Mm. At this point we had lost James because he had to do his thing. Mm-hmm. And my husband actually stepped in for a couple investigations, so he came along with us to that one. And so it was interesting to like, you know, we're just getting to know each other still, and now we're like in this haunted house for the night, and we're experiencing all these things. And it was,
yeah, that's a weird thing to do with people that you may not know that well.
Yeah,
you know? Like it's kind of like a personal thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it flowed really well, and I know the rest was history.
That's crazy. It's
pretty cool. It kind of goes back to when we first, like when I first did the video call with them, and like, which is not something I would normally do, because I've had a lot of people reach out to me and be like, hey, do you want to, I can go ghost hunting with you, even before I met my team. And there's just so many people. It's like, how do you keep track of it all? And you can't go with every single person. No. So it was just when that happened. And then when we actually formed the team, it was just something that was like, okay, like this team was meant to come together for something. It's like fate.
Like I said, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
There's something about that of connecting and the ether kind of pointing you in the right direction, you know?
Yeah. We always say, just cause like of how like we get along, even though they're their husband and wife, I'm like their little sister.
That's
so cool. It's like an interesting dynamic that way.
100%. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Like, if, I don't know if I could ever come join you guys and you guys around this area. That's what I, the craziest thing. And like, we can jump around to different topics or whatever, is I saw that you guys were doing the Arlington, and yeah, that's cool because like I grew up, somewhat in Paris a little bit. And, my mom was originally from Toronto, and then we kind of moved to a small town for a bit. And it's kind of wild because even me and the wife stayed there in the honeymoon suite or whatever it was, after the wedding. Somebody got it for us, and it's a creepy building. And, mm-hmm. One of the women that work at the front desk, I grew up with her. And, so it was kind of, she hadn't seen me in a long time. And we're like, I'm like all drunk and shit walking in, like my shirt's unbuttoned, and we're just like trying to get up to the room. And I could feel a vibe though. It's definitely such an old location. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear a little bit about that before I ask you some more questions.
Yeah. The Arlington was actually a really interesting one. I forget how it came up, but obviously we booked that one. Just like we booked a hotel room.
Yeah.
I remember Rafe had called the front desk and was like, "We heard your place is haunted. Can you give us your most haunted room?" And she's like, "The most haunted room is the Edgar Allan Poe suite." Ironically enough,
Edgar Allan Poe stayed there.
I don't think he stayed there, but so every room in the Arlington is like decorated differently. Is Edgar Allan Poe themed. And that's
cool.
In that room, someone had actually like died because they took their own life. They went down to like the Home Hardware down the street, got some tools.
What? Yeah. Oh, that's crazy, man. That's like, Paris, I grew up getting drunk and walking down that street and all sorts of crazy nonsense that we did when we were kids because we had nothing else to do. Break into old factories and stuff. That's wild.
So fun. It's a beautiful hotel. It looks like haunted, though.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely does. Paris has changed a lot since I was there.
I bet.
It's not the same. Wild. So that when you guys, what was the vibe like when you guys entered the room? Because the whole time you're there, like, I don't know, I would be like, jittery, like kind of wanting to like really get it going, you know?
Yeah, there was definitely some jittery feelings. This was one of our first investigations as well.
That's cool.
Just the three of us this time. And so again, it's like, we're still like, you know, getting to know each other, mm-hmm. you know, apparently I snore. So...
Do you guys share the room while you sleep? Does anyone stay awake to make sure nothing crazy is happening?
So now we use sleep cams. So we have quite a few cameras. So we sleep with the cameras on us. At this point we didn't.
Because you're just starting and you're figuring it out, right? And
yeah.
I don't know if I was doing a ghost hunt. I don't know how I could sleep though. I'd be like wired. I'd have to like, I'm going to sleep in today so I can stay up all night.
You know, it's so ironic. And if I'm sure my team will watch this and they'll probably be like, you better tell them. So I love my sleep. I am the worst paranormal investigator for this reason. I do not like late nights. Early investigations. Like I'm like, hey, let's go to bed now. And like Rafe and Kelly are just like, hey, it's like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. Like, let's keep going. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God. So they laugh. They always call me the worst paranormal investigator for that reason.
That's so funny. It's so funny because like I don't know, I saw somebody doing this where I'm like, oh, I would do drunk ghost hunting, and I guess there's already that. There's people on YouTube that are doing it. Somebody told me about that. Oh, they do this or whatever. I'm like, just for fun, because you feel like you're more loose, and that's why I drink on the show and stuff like that. We don't do it as bad as we used to. We used to like my co-host used to sit beside me, or we do it in the basement where we started, and we would drink like a 26er between the two of us, like wild stuff, talking about serial killers and all sorts of weird things. And I'm an advocate for magic mushrooms. I'm sure you probably have you ever tried them?
No, never. So but I've heard.
Yeah, they're very good for your brain and there's lots of different things. They can help you with trauma. They can actually regrow brain cells. There's all sorts of things that they have the ability to do if people can handle them. And if you have a bad trip, it's most likely because you're not allowing them to do their thing. It's not a party drug, even though I've used them while I've watched horror movies outside on my projector. I watched American Werewolf in London on like 5 grams of mushrooms, and it was a riot, but I felt like I had a dome around me. I felt like there was things around me. It's because you're tapping.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, you're tapping into a different realm of reality. So I joked to my buddies. I was like, I would love to do mushrooms on a ghost hunt and then have two other people or something be sober. And then I could see if I see something and start to pick up on something, do they also? Because you're technically tapping into a different reality. I've closed my eyes like 1,000 eyes.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit MedMutual.com/review. Or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
Staring back at you. I've looked through what they call fractals, so they look like translucent objects. Some of them even look like tribal patterns, where you're just like sitting there hanging out, and you'll see like these almost like, I always joke about, it's like the Harry Potter cloak in the movie, where you just kind of see the outline of him. And there's things like that that you'll end up seeing. I've stared through the fractals and seen what I thought would be like demonic beings, essentially telling him to get away. So there's weird things that your brain, cause you're existing in a different reality. There's a pretty big show called Forbidden Knowledge News. I had Chris on recently. I've been on his show a couple times, and he did mushrooms, and he swore, in one of his experiences, he had a girlfriend at the time to practice Reiki and did healing. He swore he saw her shapeshift into a reptilian. And then he started puking up black stuff in his bathtub. And I'm like, well, how, like, were you aware? Because I've done them numerous times. I know what it's like. You are conscious, and it's crazy. You can drink a bunch, and not on mushrooms, but you can drink a bunch of alcohol. You won't remember it. If you do big trips of mushrooms, you'll carry that on, those memories, for a while. Some people won't. Some people will. But it's very, your mind is very clear of the things. And after, you feel incredible. I've always stated it's very healthy for people, but people need to know how to use them. But there's experiences that people have had where they've tapped in, kind of like knocked at the door of some of these different realities.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So I would love to do like a ghost hunt while I'm like tripping balls. Just be like, I'll come with you guys and I'll chew like 3 grams of mushrooms and I'll be like some sort of psychic medium. Be like, I see this.
It's actually funny that you say that. We mostly like we'll indulge in like a spirit with spirits like before investigation or like at the end of one, depending on what the investigation is or if we have time. But we typically go in like completely sober.
Because, you have to. I just feel like that you kind of need to, right?
Yeah, just because like specifically our biggest fear is like when you drink, yes. Specifically drinking,
yeah.
You're more susceptible to like attachments and 100%. Things. So if you believe in like the demonic forces, like the eviler things, mm-hmm. will be like, oh, they're a little bit down right now. Let me, you know.
So. That's why they're called spirits. So alcohol comes from the word alkyl, which means body eating spirit.
Actually,
yeah, it's an ancient Arabic word. So it is interesting. And as much as I indulge and I like it, I think that, and I've always thought this too, because I've drank throughout my life since I was young, is you're mm-hmm. able to, just the same way as you can do with other substances, you're able to tap into things. That's why they call it spirits, because you can connect, I believe, to spirits. I think a lot of more demonic things happen. Like if you're aware of like what Bohemian Grove is and some of those weird rituals that the elites do, is mm-hmm. they're able to kind of tap in. And I think they use things like alcohol and stuff to do so. I think there's a way to kind of protect yourself to some extent, but I do believe I've seen people that are the nicest people in the world, but when they drink alcohol, they become like a demonic being. So things mm-hmm. can attach themselves to you. And when I used a Ouija board one time with my stepbrother, it wouldn't work unless I touched it. It's my Ouija board. Maybe that's why or whatever. And I don't fake shit. I'm pretty genuine. I'll just touch it, whatever, see what happens. That sounded weird. but I you know, and then it told me that I had 9 spirits attached to me, that some were good and some were bad. Who knows how many are attached to me now. But if you're not aware of this guy named David Icke, he's a very well-known researcher. He's the one that brought through the reptilian idea to light.
I have heard him.
He talks about how he's talked to psychics where it's like there's an attachment on their back, and psychics will see these things floating above people.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a good vibe from you. You have good energy, and I like this because it's nice to talk to someone that kind of gets my realm of thinking. A lot 100%. Of people don't.
No, I get it. Trust me, you can tell when conversation flows the way that it does, because it's been like an hour now and like it does not feel like I like how you said like you don't fake shit. We are the 100% the same way. That was actually the first thing before we even step foot onto an investigation floor. Mm-hmm. We're just like, we are never going to fake anything, because even though we post our content, right, like we're paranormal YouTubers, if you will. Yeah. We don't have very many subscribers, but we're still, that's what we do.
It'll build up. You just got to put it out there.
Yeah.
YouTube has been weird though. Try Rumble too.
Rumble? Okay. Yeah.
Rumble is an uncensored platform. It's actually really, it's better than YouTube. Has shadow banned us for sure. They suck. I think YouTube is a terrible platform, but you got to put yourself out there.
Right. 100%. And even like, aside from that, we also like put our clips and stuff on TikTok and on Instagram and all that stuff. And, something that we get whenever we share any kind of, whether it's an investigation and it gets maybe a little more traction, or if we're sharing clips mm-hmm. onto our team social media or my social media, whatever the case may be, there's always, if it gets enough traction, it will have people commenting, conspiracizing how we fake something, like how this can't be real.
Of course.
Yeah, and it's always going to come.
Everyone wants to think that they're the smartest person in the room when they're most likely the dumbest.
And it's also unfortunate because there are so many paranormal YouTubers, big ones, that fake stuff all the time, and it's ruined it for the rest
of us. Look at Zach Bagans. I got a demonic possession. I'm possessed. Like, he does this all the time, and it's what bothers me is like, I believe Aaron more than some of the other ones. What's the other guy that left? I actually really liked
Nick.
Nick, he did. I actually really liked his show. With what's the chick's name that did the show with, Ozzy's son.
Oh gosh.
Okay. Jack Osborne does that show. I can't remember her name. Someone I know had her on a podcast. I should try to get in contact with her. But Jack Osborne and that stuff, I think it was kind of cool. He did alien stuff and Bigfoot. I think he's bringing it more to the forefront more than some of the mm-hmm. Ghost Adventures did, and they helped do that. But what bugs me about Zach Bagans, and me and the wife talk about all the time, we've watched it, like, it makes me want to watch it again just because it is goofy and it's fun.
Yeah.
But he'll be like,
guilty pleasure.
Oh, and it's 100%. That's what it is. And he's like, you know, I feel something. I feel angry at you. And he's like, it's so weird. Like, how he like comes across is like, I'm so angry. And he's like, and he's looking around, and it looks fake, man. It looks like you're acting.
Yeah.
It doesn't, and it's disingenuous. Like,
yeah, it comes across like that too.
It's so and terrible.
It's ruined it for anyone who wants to share things online. Yeah. I still do like to watch it occasionally, but it's just like a fun show to watch, but it's just like, man, everything's ruined for like legitimacy now. Cause you could have like the most solid piece of evidence and people are going to be like, there was this, we actually recently, we went to the Cornwall in Cornwall, Ontario. There's the historic SDG jail and we went there to investigate it. I was in the back of this tunnel by myself and the rest of the team, like Rafe had gone like live on TikTok. He was like in the kitchen. And then James actually came back for this investigation.
Oh, that's cool.
And he and him and Kelly were like on the opposite side of the basement than me doing like a separate investigation. And all of a sudden I hear like footsteps around the corner. I'm like using this portal device, from Phantoms of Yore that was like hosting, giving us the tour of the place.
Cool.
They let us use their portal. So I was listening to that, but it was really loud because it was like static, but also sounds coming through. And I heard footsteps coming around the corner. And I was like, oh, someone like coming around the corner. Cause it was clear. It was like, it sounded like it was right around the corner for me. And all of a sudden I heard a voice that said, it sounded in the moment, like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. After reviewing footage, cause it was caught on camera, it sounded more like, yeah, I am. But some people have heard get out of here. It's interesting. Either way, it sounded exactly like Rafe. So I thought, and we have like a prank war going on. So, cause that's something we like to bring to our investigations too, is like humor and, cracking jokes and making light of it.
That's good. The world's a dark place. We should probably 100%. Bring humor to it.
Especially in scary places. Yeah. But we're supposed to have prank wars off when investigations are happening. So I was like scared. Cause I was like, that was him. He's going to come around the corner and like scare me and whatever. But I called out again. I was like, Rafe, is that you? Again, sounded exactly like him. And it was silence. And then I started freaking out, whatever, they came over and we found out that he was not even on the same floor as us and he had not said anything. So we had caught like a mimic essentially of Rafe. We submitted that clip to Nuke's Top 5. If you know that YouTube channel.
Yeah. That's fine.
They ended up sharing it. And so we got a little bit of traction from that video that he shared.
That's good. People need to help each other in this field.
100%. And it was great. Like he really hyped us up and everything like that. It was a great, great clip, great episode that he did. But there was a lot of comments on there going in on me on either my good acting or my bad acting or like conspiracizing all these ways that I faked
things.
Don't
let it get to you, man.
Oh no, 100% no. But it's just like, it's funny to me that like, you know, that was such a real experience.
Yeah.
And an authentic experience. And now
people want to shit on it. People that never experienced this stuff and have never had some sort of ghost experience and think that this reality is somehow physical and all that stuff. I've seen it's a mentality, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in this world that are like, you know, people call them sheep or whatever they want to call them, but like people don't understand. They want to only live through their own experiences. And most of them are, and people call them NPCs, where they walk around life and they're just kind of robotic and do whatever they're told and think whatever they're told to and never choose to question the reality that we exist in. I've already proven to myself, like I said this on a recent episode, that there is lower vibrational entities and things that exist. I've already proven this to myself. I don't need to prove to anybody else. And the same, I try not to bring it to the show. It's happened numerous times lately, but my political aspect of things and stuff, people may not believe or think what I think politically, but I've taken the time to research and read, and I have a whole library of books beside me. Like I try to educate myself on things that most people dare not to even question. So you see that where people always want to go, well, actually, we call them the actually people, or it's like, you don't know anything. You're not, where's your YouTube? I mentioned this recently. There's a rapper that his first album, Apathy is his name. His album was Where's Your Album? So I made a joke because on the recent horror podcast I've done that we did the part two of the Friday 13th franchise. We did like 5, 6, 7, and 8 or whatever. And I dressed like I was an 80s guy. Like I was in the 80s and I made jokes about it. And one guy in the comments on YouTube was like, and it got a lot of views. It was like, I don't like how this guy doesn't take things seriously and stuff like that. Right. So I know. So we did Jason X. And so I dressed up in like a suit and then wore like, I have like Dahmer glasses. They're fucking over there somewhere. I put like my Dahmer glasses on. And I was like, so I heard that, you know, talking about a guy with a hockey mask that kills people in comical ways is very serious. I was like, do I look serious to you? And my co-host is like, you look pretty serious. And I was like, yeah, it's a very serious topic. And it's just like these people, I'm like, where's your podcast? You know, where's your thing that you're contributing to the world or using your own creative energy to do so? So never let those people get you down because they're just faceless trolls on the internet being like, wow, this is what I think. Nobody cares what you think because you don't have anything, any platform. You know?
So true. It's actually crazy. Nobody cares what you think.
It's so true. That. I know, right? I've had thousands of people share my videos of me just giving you a minute and a half idea of what I think about the government. So realistically, I've too many times where I'm like, my face is fucking everywhere and it's kind of scares me. but I wanted to bring it quickly back. Was there anything crazy that you guys caught at the Arlington? Just because I grew up there, I wanted to like, if there's anything you can remember.
So we caught our first poltergeist activity.
What? Now, cool.
I've come to realize that a lot of people have different opinions on what poltergeists are. Mm-hmm. What we kind of think poltergeists are, I mean, who knows? Because it's more of
a malevolent, violent
spirit
that can move things. Throw it.
So that's what we came to kind of believe, and that's kind of where we're at with poltergeists. Yeah, but we were in the basement, and the basement's really creepy. It's like a little cellar thing, but
let you go down there and investigate. Yeah. And they're cool with it. Cool.
Yeah. She's a receptionist. I'm not sure what else she does. I think she has other managerial duties.
Is she blonde?
No.
Okay.
Brown hair.
Okay. I was maybe it was the chick I grew up with.
I think her name is Katie.
The one I know is Krista. Same name as you. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Weird.
Weird coincidences. Actually, it might not have been Katie. Either way, she came down to the basement with us, and she was kind of just observing. I think she did leave at one point for a little bit, but came back down because she wanted to kind of see what was going on too.
That's cool.
At one point we were doing, I can't remember what, I have to go back. It's on camera, but we heard a whistle. We're all of us like turned and looked at the same time. We're like, did you hear that whistle? I'm like, we're just like finishing each other's sentences. It was so clear. Like there was no one around. Again, we're in the basement and it was like right around the corner and all of us were accounted for. So that was kind of crazy. But the poltergeist activity was, Rafe and I were doing a spirit box session, and Kelly she likes to gander off. She's like the skeptic among us. She kind of keeps us level headed sometimes because we like to, Our imagination sometimes gets the best of us. We need her to like reel us in, but she went and gallivanted off, and she went into like this back room in the cellar, and she had brought a cat ball with her. We call her the cat ball whisperer because she always gets it to go off.
Ball? Is that the one that it emits noises when something's around it, or?
No, it's no noise, just light. So it's literally a cat ball. You can buy them on Amazon. They're like clear, and then there's a button, and when you press it, it is on. But in order to make the lights actually go off, you have to touch it. So you put the ball somewhere, and then you ask questions, and then if it goes off,
it's
kind of weird.
What you have in your environment, right? Because you can use all sorts of things for paranormal investigations. That's cool.
100%. Yeah. So she brought that into the back room. She put it on a chair and she's filming it. And she didn't realize this at the time. She was talking to something, trying to get it to light up the ball. And it worked, but she was replaying it. And she comes over to us and she's like, the cat ball moved. Like you can physically see it move. So we're like, okay, that must be a poltergeist because it moved it. Like, I don't know, but either way, that was like the craziest thing that happened at that place. So we got that on camera too.
That's pretty cool.
Not only responding to her, but moving.
It's so funny. Cause like, I don't know if it was when I saw your clip of that, cause that's when I was like, I don't even know, it must've been on Instagram or whatever. There's something where I was like, I caught that you were there. I saw the picture and I was like, whoa, that's cool. That's cool. So like that you're investigating stuff around my area. Right. And then when we went there, the wedding was definitely after I saw that clip, and I said like, you know, we came back, we were wasted. Right. And I'm drinking more when I go there, but the room just felt weird and you could like look on the sidewalk, and I've seen it my whole life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to see someone investigate it, I was like, oh, I want to do that. Right. And I was looking before the wedding about what, if I could rent it out. And I was like, seeing if my buddy would want to do it. And then it never ended up coming to fruition, but like, it is a cool thing. Like, I would love to do some of that stuff. There's a haunted barn in near Brantford that's supposed to be like somebody hung themselves at in the barn, and people have had weird experiences there. Have you, as a question, have you ever checked out the Black Donnelly place?
I've heard of it. Mm. I haven't been to the area, but I heard it's closed. Is that correct? That's
sad. I don't know. We did a whole episode about the whole Black Dolly. It's a wild story. Irish.
It is.
People coming over, which most Canadians are Irish, French, British, Scottish. That's where that's where we come from as Canadian people. And it's pretty crazy. And they were like warring with everybody else. And then they got burned down. All the people died inside the house. Yes. But I think the wife's sister said that she saw something there. Like there's like weird... Especially there's the residual energies that things that exist like Gettysburg, where you hear gunshots, right? That are just like imprinted into our reality. But then there's the intelligent ghosts. That's why you have to kind of differentiate what is intelligent and what is just an imprint of trauma into the reality.
Yeah.
It's wild.
100%.
What is the most compelling evidence you think, or maybe even we can go different directions. What is your like favorite haunting that you've done? One of the ones that you like, cause you know what I'm talking about, that feeling you get where you're like,
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And that's such a hard question. Oh goodness.
it's all good. Or like so, something that's memorable, you know?
So there's so many. I'm going to go with a couple because I feel like I can't choose just one.
Yeah, I want to give you the platform to tell me all your stories. I'm interested.
There was this one location that we went to, and it just the feeling that it gave me, like as we were experiencing things, it was a feeling that I had never felt before to this point. So we got the chance to investigate the Franklin House, which is in Mississauga. It's currently a bar. Cool. So we were let in there after hours. So we were there, you know, my favorite time of day. We started our investigation at 2 a.m.
That's funny.
So, but that means like everything else.
Oh, this place on the exists street, forever.
Yeah. It's so historic. But I mean, on top of that, like it's Streetsville's like kind of popular. It's obviously not like downtown Mississauga or anything like that. But, that particular street is like a bump in street normally, but obviously this is 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 4 a.m. Yeah, it's much quieter. There's not a soul on the street.
Yeah.
So we were investigating in numerous spots, but I just remember mostly when we were on the top floor, there was multiple instances where we heard like the loudest noise, and we had one of the servers, I think is what her position is, but she was there with us to let us in there, and she was with us. Like she did not, there was a couple times that she like had to step out because honestly I think she was a little bit scared of it, which I understand, like we saged her and everything afterwards, but there were sometimes where she had to step out, and her mom was there too, but for the most part, like when these instances were happening, they were both up there with us, and they were like watching us conduct some different experiments. And we had this device in front of us. It's called a flux two. It's basically like this little prism, and there's like a green side and a red side. And then if you go to one side, you can turn the light green and red for no.
Yeah, yeah.
So, cool. We were doing that, and honestly, it's kind of hit or miss piece of equipment, but I digress. It's not that loud, or it's not loud at all unless the light goes on. So we were sitting there trying to ask questions. Yeah. Exactly. So we were asking questions, trying to get it to use the device. It wasn't really doing anything. And all of a sudden we're sitting there just kind of waiting for something to happen. And we heard this loud noise come from like downstairs. Mm-hmm. Like it was loud. The server who was there with us told us that's a bar stool downstairs, like shifting across the floor. But it was like the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. I was like, that sounds like someone is downstairs moving chairs around.
Yeah, yeah.
And it happened multiple times. And every time it like brought tears to my eyes because it was like, it was that loud.
The energy, like you're like, I feel it, man.
Yeah. And like, that's kind of how I gauge when places are, or when haunted places are that like, not real, but like, the places that affect me the most, they bring that feeling to me. So that was one of them. Another one was also at another bar that we investigated at like 3 a.m. and it was in Barrie, and also caught some poltergeist activity, not on camera, but it was called the, it's a different name now, but it was a Simcoe Hotel, Saloon and Eatery in Barrie. And it, we were doing a dowsing rod session. The cowbells were going off. And all of a sudden, as we're like waiting for the dowsing rods to move, we hear this loud crash.
Is this it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Weird this looking loud building. Crash. It's like on like a corner.
It looks like a hotel. Weird. Like, that's weird.
So it used to be a hotel, I think. And then now people live up there, but it's like not the best neighbors. I
heard Barrie's not a nice place anymore.
Yeah. It's
oh, there, like wow.
A lot of people die up there and yeah, like overdose and stuff.
Well, like you've heard of the Hotel Cecil, right? Obviously very famous.
Yeah. Would love to investigate that one day.
Oh man, me too, man. I want to talk to Richard Ramirez. We just did two parts on him, man.
And Alyssa Lamb, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like my buddy from Ireland would love to recover that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a wild story. This is a weird looking building now.
I know. It was crazy. But we were in there. Again, it's like, it's downtown Barrie, so it can be a little bit scary with like people on the street, but it wasn't loud at all. Cause again, it was like 3-4 in the morning at this point. And all of us were accounted for. There's this big crash that happens and we follow it because it was like in the bathroom, like right behind us. And it was like a soap dispenser. It had been flung over the stall and like hit the stall a few times and then hit the floor.
Weird. What the fuck? That's crazy. So,
and that also gave me like the tears to my eyes kind of feeling. So like,
and that's why I'm like, people need to trust their own intuition and their own feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, people can claim, oh, your brain is pretty powerful, which it is, and it can make up things, sure. But there is frequencies and things around us all the time. Mm-hmm. Different realities, dimensions that are probably corresponding with me talking right now. All the time, these things happen. I've seen proof of this numerous times in my life. When it comes to messing around with the paranormal, Ouija boards, and also mushrooms, that there's things outside of our reality that we'll never understand and that are tapping in and seeing what they can either push into our heads or influence us with. And who knows how much of what we think is our own thoughts. That's the scariest thing, right? And that's why, like, I love talking about this stuff. I love, like, and I've said this on the show, right? Like that. I've been into true crime and serial killers and all that sorts of stuff since I was very young. I was always fascinated with people like Charles Manson and Richard Ramirez. How do they become these people that we know of? But my first love has always been the paranormal, because that's what I feel like switches you on to that thought of, well, reality isn't what we think it is.
Yeah.
And then when you start to like split that atom of like, okay, what else is going on in the world? What else energies are influencing our reality? How much are these people, this obviously political shit, but how much are these people in power? How much are they influenced by some sort of demonic energy that's influencing them? Right. So it's fascinating. It's pretty cool. Like I actually really do love this stuff. So I had a spirit ball. I still have the spirit. I have it somewhere around here. And I would like to use it again. Everything's out of batteries because I haven't used it in so long. But I remember when I first got it, I was living at home at my mom's house, and I was like, say my name. And then my mom's like, say my name, say my name. Like she was like joking when I was telling her the story after, right? But it said Thomas, and a very clear female voice. And I was like, can you say my name again? And it was like, Thomas, in the exact same voice. And according to like the spirit box is going about 100 radio stations a second. Like it's pretty crazy. Most people don't even realize that. And there was no way that it could replicate twice
the exact same
voice. And I got chills down my spine. And like I said, you kind of have to like, you have to take into account your own frequency and your own resonancy of like what you're capturing when you're walking around. We are all electrical beings. My wife recently got us a grounding mat and a sheet. So you know what those are?
I think so. Is that like for your like physical energy?
Yeah. So you plug it into the ground of the electrical socket. And it's the same thing as you do. If you ever step anyone out there, go walk outside and do this more often and walk around in bare feet, because your energy shifts with the ground being connected to the earth. The natives knew this, and there's ancient cult magic. They know this stuff, that you're connected. And it's funny because when I'm on mushrooms, there's a tree in the backyard and it looks like it's fucking waving at me. So because you're eating something that is from the mycelium, connects, it interconnects all of nature. It's the connective ways. You can, it's very intelligent, and there's theories that in scientific research that mushrooms actually talk to each other in the same,
I heard this,
in the same kind of vocabulary, almost in the same kind of way that we talk to each other, but just it is a different form. And so I swear that it's like it knows, nature knows when you're on those states of mind, because you are connecting with nature because you're eating the dead mushroom that existed through the mycelium network. It's fascinating shit. And I always feel like this tree is like waving at me and stuff. So when you put your feet on your bare feet onto the ground, you actually transfer energy from Mother Nature, Mother Gaia, whatever people want to call it. And it comes into your own being. So these grounding mats are kind of supposed to do the same thing. And it helps your electric magnetic frequency. And I've slept better. We just got it on Tuesday, and last night I slept solid. Had more energy, and we spent the money to do it. I'm like, this better be a fucking real thing. And she's like, I did all the research. There's tons of reviews, and it's works. We have one where we can sit and watch TV, but then I'm like, I'm using my laptop editing the show, and I'm like, I fucking feel all these tingles. And then she's like reading it after. She's like, yeah, you shouldn't have technology while you do it, cause it's going through your phone too. And I'm like, that probably makes sense. I'm trying not to do that, but I've slept better. And it's interesting that I think people need to acknowledge the things that they feel. And I think that too many people, including myself, because I have to keep the show going and I'm the one running everything, is to social media and your phone. And it does, a lot of people have been trapped in this stuff. All of us have, right? And we need to remember our feelings. And that's why I want to talk about this stuff. It reminds me of when I was young. I didn't have a cell phone until I was 16. So things are different than what they were, right?
Yeah, 100%.
It's been a cool conversation. I could go on all day. So is there anything else what is one of the scariest experiences that you've had doing this? Do you remember something that really stands out to you, or a couple of things?
So, I mean, the mimic experience from
that's weird.
The SDG jail, that was a time that I was truly afraid.
You can
and
feel the pit of your stomach.
We were supposed to do solo challenges, and I don't know, it was probably Rafe's idea, but the idea was to, where I was in that tunnel, there was a spiral staircase that led up to the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And what we were supposed to do is handcuff ourselves to that stairwell while everyone else left.
I would definitely
I couldn't, after that experience, I was like, I'm tapping out of that, and they clowned me for it. But, both Rafe and Kelly did it. And, you know, I mean, Rafe kept turning the lights on and off, and Kelly actually did it in the dark. So there's that. But, that was a time that I was truly, truly afraid. I couldn't do.
Well, I guess for all the people chirping and shit, I fucking dare them. All these faceless people, I dare them to do stuff like this. I dare you.
Yeah.
Go do it on your own.
When you're in the dark by yourself, handcuffed to something, and you can't run, and everyone's gone three floors away, that's
and these things
terrifying.
Can, I mean, whatever is around, living or dead, because I think that mm-hmm. there is entities that exist beyond this reality that are physical still, and there's no way around it, right? Realistically, they can do whatever they want, right? Yeah, so it's so funny, the people that that claim it, these big tough guys. You know, I bet the biggest muscle bound dude couldn't do half the stuff that you guys are doing.
Yeah, no, 100%. It sounds easy, kind of in theory, but when you're actually there, different story. Another place I was terrified was the Bel Air House, which is in Ohio.
Oh, you guys went to the States? That's fucking cool.
Yeah, I've never been
to America. It's weird as that is.
Really?
Yeah. I have tons of friends there. It's like, why have you not done this?
Come down to visit.
Too lazy to get my passport dealt with.
That's fair.
the Bel Air House? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Bel Air House in Bel Air, Ohio.
Ah, is Will Smith there with his Scientologist friends?
We kept making all those jokes.
That's so funny.
It's said to be one of the most haunted in America. We have quite a few friends in this space that have other teams too. Yeah. One of our favorite teams to work with, we've done a couple clubs with them, is Paranormal XP, and they've been to the Conjuring House. The Bel Air House,
Harrisville Haunting, the Harrisville House. That's cool.
Yeah, they said this place was worse than the Conjuring House. A lot of people think it's worse. It is something. There's like it's on a portal. There's many portals within the house. A lot of deaths have happened in the house. There's said to be a demonic little girl. There's like
that's not a little girl though.
No, like there's a spirit named Emily. She walks around the perimeter of the house, but then there's Emily that like comes in the form of a little girl in the house who pretends like she's the real Emily, but she's a demon.
Look at these
like very convoluted. Yeah, all right.
They're so scared.
But yeah, so the Bel Air House, one of the most haunted in the States. It was our first American location. We did it earlier this year.
That's cool.
Stayed there for a night. We were so scared. So the basement is said to be like where the demonic thing lives. Also the attic too, but the demonic, there's a few demonic things that happen in the basement. There's like a portal.
Yeah, yeah.
Portal number one in the basement, which was a coal mine. And then there's another portal. It's like a chair. Kelly is, I don't know if I mentioned yet about how she's a badass, but she's a badass and nothing scares her. Mm-hmm. Like she's the one who keeps us level and she goes to logic first.
She got
first.
Balls, but she doesn't have balls.
Exactly. And she, like Rafe and I are, I think we were filming something. And all of a sudden we hear Kelly's voice from the basement. This is like maybe an hour into us being there. We hadn't gone into the basement yet. We hear Kelly go, nope, 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 coming right back at the stairs. We're like, you went into the basement by yourself. She's like, yeah, I can do it. But I realized I couldn't do it. It was the first time we'd ever seen her scared. And she was like, when we did go later in that night to the basement, she was like shaking. She did not want to be down there. It was actually like the first time I think in her life she's ever been scared.
Oh man, I live for that shit. Get me in with you guys. I don't even care, man.
We slept on the couches. There's like it's a whole house. We have the whole house to ourselves for the night. We slept on the couches.
Did you have to pay a fee or did like obviously, right?
Yeah.
For that house at least, right?
Yeah, you rent out the entire house.
Well, you guys are, that's nice because you guys are all paying for this together, right? Obviously,
yeah,
the
exactly.
Economy is fucked, but like, right? So that is, I don't know, man. I could probably talk to you for hours, man.
Yeah, I know. We're going for like an hour and a half at this point.
We did 4.5 hours on fucking Jeffrey Dahmer. So,
really?
Yeah, oh yeah, it was like where I'm like, now I'm getting to the point where I'm like, all right, we have to do two parts. We did two parts of Richard Ramirez recently. It's out on video, but not audio yet. And, but I was like, you know, I don't want to be that podcast that is two parts. I want to go full energy. And then we did, you know who Jimmy Savile is?
No.
So Jimmy Savile is, someone who is connected to the royal family, that, had a bunch of victims that he was the first disc jockey, the first DJ. And, He molested like 400 people, and the queen knighted him. He was very connected to the royal family, which I believe are demonic entities. I believe this. I've seen enough proof. And so we did like 4.5 hours, and like there was three of us at the time, a co-host that is not on the show anymore. And I was like getting into the point. I was like, he's a wizard. His cigar is a wand. Here, let me show you what this guy fucking looks like. And you'll be like, wow, that guy looks like he eats children. He is a very scary looking guy. I would never want to come in contact with this guy's ghost. He's one of the most frightening human beings to ever exist, in my opinion.
Gosh. I'm scared.
I know. Just,
I think this is now the most scared I've ever been.
Oh, you will see. This guy is frightening. He's knighted by the queen. Here is this creepy guy. Look at this guy wearing a Freemason necklace. Right here. Here's my favorite. Look at that guy. You think that he's not possessed by some sort of demonic creatures? So he paid for, essentially, he built hospitals and stuff for mentally handicapped kids. He helped fund this stuff. Okay. And he ended up using them to abuse the children. Very scary looking dude. There's a show that was supposed to come out. This is a clip from the show. They didn't do it. Look at this guy. Tell me this guy's a normal guy, right?
Is he dead?
He's dead now. Yes. And okay. When they buried him at a 45 degree angle. That's a Masonic thing.
Yeah. Oh.
There's a lot of weird things about this guy. So we did 4.5 hours on him. And near the end, I was like, there's people that believe he's a magician and his wand is actually a cigar. Like, look at what this guy looks. He was the creep beyond creeps. One of the scariest people, in my opinion, to exist that we know of.
He kind of looks like Riff Raff.
Oh, yeah, old Riff Raff. So look at, he's wearing some weird demonic. There's a documentary on Netflix you can watch, and it's called A British Horror Story. If you want to know even slightly, it's just only surface level of how bad this guy is. That's a good place to start if you're interested by
that. Yeah,
you're a chick into the paranormal. I'm sure you love true crime.
Yeah, right? I do. You know
I know all you guys are like, that's what my wife watches all, like, I'm like in them, especially on Saturday mornings, like researching stuff for the show or editing stuff or whatever, and she's watching, I'm watching this right now, it's this chick that went missing and her mom gave her up for adoption, whatever the newest one on Netflix is, and I'm like, you guys are all the same. I posted a meme where it's like, I like using those ones from TikTok, and it's like Joe Rogan being like, you know, like, I don't know what that feels like, but I would like to know. And I was like, chicks that watch true crime or whatever.
Yeah.
It was so funny. Yeah. This was a good vibe. I feel like, and I only bring people on the show that I think that I'll connect with, like, in a lot of people do this thing where they bring on people that they, you know, are going to make whatever money off of or whatever, or influence. But I only legitimately bring on people on the show that I like, and that I see that I'm like, ah, we'll get along. You know what I mean?
I'm so honored.
Yeah, it's cool. And I, this stuff is the stuff that gets my goat, as the expression goes, right? That the paranormal has always been my first love.
So, I feel it.
Do you have any other thing that you maybe want to add? Anything that maybe you didn't touch upon?
Oh gosh. I mean, we could be here for days. I
know. Maybe I should have you back on. We'll do some at the end of October near Halloween or something.
Yeah.
Honestly,
we should bring on the whole team.
That would be cool. If they're down, I would 100% be down to do that. Do a kind of thing is this time, if they're down, we'll do it as a full live stream thing, and I'll go live to all my platforms, and we'll have people talking in the chat and all that stuff. So if you want to do that.
We've done one other podcast before with the whole team. So they definitely would be.
That's cool. I'm down for that. I'm down for that vibe. And for some reason, people love that with like different points of views and conversations. I'm down, and I've drank in a bunch of whiskey, so should probably
cheers to that.
We should probably cap it off. To everybody that's listening, shout out where they can find you. I actually really did like this conversation, and what most people don't understand there is, like, I'm not here to do interviews. I'm here to do conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, to talk with each other, to get to know each other. That's what I want out of my show, not this thing of like, so what about this or what about that. You know, it's just like, I want to have conversations.
100%. And you achieve that. This is great.
I'm definitely bringing you back on the show. This is fun.
Yay.
So shout out all your stuff. Tell the people where to find you.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Hauntingly Krista. Also on Facebook at Hauntingly Krista. But I mean, I don't really post on there, but it's there. I'm on my personal YouTube, which I'm going to start to post a little bit more on, Hauntingly Krista as well. Awesome. But also Walking Among Us official on YouTube. That's for cool. All the paranormal stuff.
Go support the shows. YouTube is a garbage platform, but if we can get as many people as we can, for some reason, YouTube likes to like push out the worst content creators in the world.
I know.
It's not good. So I tell you guys, invest into Rumble. Not like money wise, but just I think people. I will shout this out to the day I die. Rumble is a better platform by far than YouTube, and you can say all sorts of crazy stuff on there. So
That's good to know.
Support Rumble, everybody. Stay strange, everybody.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.